Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the 11th canto, chapter 3, text 37. Sattvam rajastama iti tridvid ekamadam. Sutram mahanahamiti pravadanti jivam. Yana kriyata phala rupatayoru shakti. Brahmaiva bhatti sarasat chatayo paramyat. Sattvam rajastama iti tridvedekamada. Sutram mahanam iti pravadanti jivam. Jnana kriyata phala rupatayoru shakti. Brahmaiva bhatti sarasat chatayo paramyat. Sattvam rajastama iti tridvedekamada. Sutram mahanaham iti pravadanti jivam. Yana kriyata phala rupatayo dushakti. Amaya bhakti sada sat chatayo paramya. Sattvam rajastama iti tridvedekamada. Sutram mahanaham iti pravadanti jivam. Yana kriyata phala rupatayo dushakti. Brahmaiva bhakti sarasat chatayo paramyat. Sattvam rajastama iti tridvedekamada. Sutram mahanaham iti pravadanti jivam. Yana kriyata phala rupatayo dushakti. Brahmaiva paramyat.
Ladies? Do the ladies want to chant?
Sattvam rajastama iti tridvedekamada. Sutram mahanaham iti pravadanti jivam. Yana kriyata phala rupatayo dushakti. Brahmaiva bhakti sarasat chatayo paramya. Sattvam Sattvam rajasam iti chidvere kamara. Vacham maham iti pravadanti jivam. Kalarupatayo de shakti. Brahmaiva bhakti sarasat tatayo param yat. Sattvam rajastam iti trivede kamada. Sattvam mahana kamiti pravadanti jivam. Yana kriyakta phala rupa tayodhi shakti. Brahmaiva bhakti sarasat satayo param yat. Satvam rajastam iti trivede kamada. Amaham ahamiti pravadanti jivam. Nana kriyata phala rupa tayodhi shakti. Brahmaiva bhakti sarasat satayo param yat. Sattvam rajastam iti trivede kamada. Sutram maham iti pravadanti jivam. Na kriyata phala rupa tayodhi shakti. Brahmaiva bhakti sarasat satayo param yat. Okay, translation. I'll just read the translation because time is running by. Originally, one, the absolute Brahman comes to be known as threefold, manifesting itself as the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Brahman further expands its potency, and thus the power to act and the power of consciousness becomes manifest, along with the false ego, which covers the identity of the conditioned living being. Thus, by the expansion of the multipotencies of the Absolute, the demigods, as the embodiment of knowledge, become manifest, along with the material senses, their objects, and the results of material activity, namely, happiness and distress. In this way, the manifestation of the material world takes place as a subtle cause and as a material effect visible in the appearance of gross material objects. Brahman, which is the source of all subtle and gross manifestations, is simultaneously transcendental to them, being absolute. Amangana tamandasya ganangana sokaya chakshara navatamina tasma shigurveya. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. I'm just going to read one part of it because it's super long. Okay. The material world should be understood to consist of the bewildering interaction of real elements. The material world is not false in the imaginary sense of the Buddhists and Mayavadis who state that, in fact, the material world does not exist outside the mind of the observer. Material world as a potency of the absolute has a real existence, but the living entity becomes bewildered by the temporary manifestations, foolishly taking them to be permanent. Thus, the material world functions as an illusory potency, causing the living entity to forget the spiritual world wherein life is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. Because the material world thus bewilders the conditioned soul, it is called illusory. When a magician performs his tricks on stage, that which the audience apparently sees is an illusion. But the magician actually exists, and the hat and rabbit exist, although the appearance of a rabbit coming out of a hat is an illusion. Similarly, when the living entity identifies himself as part and parcel of the material world, thinking, I am American, I am Indian, I am Russian, I am black, I am white, he is bewildered by the magic of the Lord's illusory potency. The conditioned soul must come to understand, I am a pure spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna. Now let me stop my useless activities and serve Krishna since I am part of him. Then he is free from the illusion of Maya. If one artificially tries to escape the clutches of illusory energy by declaring there is no illusory potency and that this world is false, he merely falls into another illusion created by Maya to keep him in ignorance. So, and here we all are, you know, to some degree or another, most of us, in some kind of illusion that we're these bodies, our families seem somewhat eternal at this point, you know, that will always be there. And last time I gave class, I told a story about Lord Indra and how Lord Indra fell from grace. You know, he fell into illusion. And I found another story. Did you like that story about Lord Indra? Okay, so this is a story about Narada and how Narada falls also into illusion. What happens is that Narada, he asks Krishna, he goes, Krishna, I really want to see your illusory potency. And Krishna says, this is from the Narada Purana. Krishna says, are you sure you want to see it? And Narada's like, yeah, I really want to see it. He goes, okay, well, sit down and, you know, I'll tell you about it, but can you go get me a glass of water first? And Narada goes, sure, I'll get you a glass of water. So he starts walking to get water. It's a really hot day. And on the horizon, he sees a little village with thatched huts. And he thinks, okay, well, you know, that's where I'll go to get the water. So he's walking and walking. It seems like he's never going to get there. And he's so thirsty, his throat is just parched. So finally, he gets to the village. He goes to the first house, knocks on the door to get the water. And when the door opens, it's like the most beautiful girl he's ever seen, you know, with this beautiful black trellises and you know, lotus eyes and long eyelashes. And she looks up at Narada, and Narada explains that he just doesn't really know what happened to him. But before you know it, he was saying, will you marry me? And she said, yes. And then they got married, and they established a household. And one child after another came. And they were so busy, you know, feeding the children and dressing the children, making sure they went to school and had everything that they needed. It just took up all of their time. And then one by one, the children grew up. And each of them got married and established a household. And there was Narada and his wife just thinking, we are so fortunate to be grandparents, you know. We've had such a wonderful life, and our grandchildren are so perfect. Who could be happier than us? But as often happens, what happened, there was a huge flood, you know, raging river. And, you know, Narada's property was overcome with a flood, with water, and he lost his house, and he lost his animals, all his domestic animals, and then his children and grandchildren. He was desperately trying to save them, but he couldn't. It's very difficult. I didn't know actually until recently with Hurricane Matthew that it says even 6 inches of water, it says don't drive your car if there's even 6 inches of water, because that's enough to carry your car away and to carry you away in the car and everything. So anyway, everything was carried away. And Narada, you can imagine, he was completely, he just folded his hands and was like, Krishna, 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 help me. And when he said that, all of a sudden there was Krishna, and there he was back at the same place with his, where he was going to get the glass of water. And it was all over. It was all an illusion. So that's similar to what happens to us. Because we have all these, we all have our lives, our very intricate lives and our intimate relationships that we have. And we don't want them to ever end. Oftentimes, sometimes we wouldn't mind, but you know, oftentimes, you know, we wish that certain relationships could continue. But at some point, it's all going to stop. So Prabhupada constantly reminds us of this, that how strong this illusory energy is. One verse that really applies to this is Daiveshi Gunamai Mamaya Dratyaya Mamaivaye Papadyate Mayametam Trantite, that Krishna says this divine energy of mine is very, very difficult to overcome, but one who surrenders unto me can easily cross beyond it. And Srila Prabhupada says that Krishna, he's the master of the illusory energy, and he can, for his sincere devotee, he can remove all of that. There's another story of Markandeya Rishi. And Markandeya Rishi, he had really performed so many penances and that he was very, very powerful. Indra had sent, and sometimes demigods do this when they see a particularly powerful yogi, they send people to break his meditation because they're afraid that this yogi may become so powerful, they may take over the position of Brahma or Indra. So they sent some, Indra came with some of his associates to try to break Markandeya's meditation, but he was unable to do it. That's how powerful Markandeya's meditation on the Lord was. But Markandeya, after offering some very, very beautiful prayers to Lord Krishna, Krishna said to him, he told him, I want to give you a benediction. So Markandeya Rishi, he said, I'd like to know more about your illusory potency. And Krishna said, again, are you sure? He said, yes, I'm sure. So this time, Markandeya, he was meditating, and all of a sudden, again, there was a huge flood, and it just flooded everything, and Markandeya found himself in the middle of this flood, in the middle of the ocean, all by himself, and just kind of like, you know, floating around from place to place until he saw a banyan tree, and he floated close to the banyan tree. And he saw a leaf, a big banyan leaf, and on the banyan leaf was the most beautiful little boy that he ever saw. And this little boy was glowing, and he got close, and as he got close, Srila Prabhupada explains that he was sucked in. Markandeya Rishi was sucked in to the little boy's body like a mosquito, you know, into a fire. So he was inside of this glowing boy's body, and inside the body, the universe looked like before it did, before there was annihilation. So he was just wondering about how this all was happening. And then with the little boy's exhalation, he came out of the boy's body, and he was gazing at this effulgent little boy, and then he realized this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he tried to embrace that boy, but then everything disappeared, and there he was again, back in his ashram. So even these great souls can become overcome with the material energy, what to speak of us. So we're fortunate that we have gained so much help, because Srila Prabhupada explained, just like in Daiveshi Gunamai, that verse, the word guna means rope. And a rope is composed of, you know, three main fibers that are all, you know, wound together, just like when the girls braid their hair, right? Those three braids. So the guna is a rope, and it's made of the three modes of material nature, the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, and the mode of ignorance. And we're all subjected to those modes of material nature and controlled by them to the extent that we are not transcendental. So we've been given lots of opportunity to become transcendental. Srila Prabhupada has given us so much direction in that regard. And at every moment, we are developing, according to our mind, we're developing, our consciousness is working on our next body. You know, we're working right now. If you were to leave your body right now, just think, like, what is your consciousness? Where is your mind? And if you were to leave your body at this second, where would you go? I have a favorite picture, and you're probably not going to be able to see it, but I'll try to just show it, and you may recognize this picture. And it shows how, this is like from the original Bhagavad Gita, and it's showing people in different stages of life and passion, like there's a picture here of a man and a woman in, embracing publicly, and it shows that they're on their way, their soul is on the way to take birth in a dog body. And it shows a man here eating like a indiscriminately, you know, whatever he can find, like a hog. So the spirit soul naturally goes on to take a hog body, right? And here's a picture of a devotee coming up to a man's house, preaching to him, asking for a donation, and it shows the man giving a donation to the devotee, and that man is destined for his spirit soul to take birth on the heavenly as a demigod, you know, or as a resident of the heavenly planets. And then it shows the devotees who are worshiping Radha Shyamasundar, and shows their destination is the spiritual world. So that is that. That's how it works, and that's why we try to remember Krishna in so many different ways. And before, I want you to think about some of the ways that you remember Krishna. What helps you remember the Supreme Lord? Like the 10th chapter is full of different ways to remember Krishna, and the 7th chapter has several verses too that help us remember Krishna. And this, I just wanted to read this because I love this story. How many of you have read or maybe seen performed The Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens? Okay, there's a few of you who know that story. And it's a story about a man, Ebenezer Scrooge, who was very, very greedy. He had a job as, you know, kind of an accountant, money changer, and his whole life was just money. And unfortunately, he wasn't very generous. In fact, he was super tight. And he didn't, so he didn't like to, when people came to ask for charity, you know, he just turned them away. He wanted nothing to do with it. Send them to the poorhouse, he said, if they don't have any money. So Srila Prabhupada, I was reading about a lecture where Prabhupada was talking about money. He said, if you have money, use it for Krishna service, because you can't hold on to money. You know, he says it's very rare, even from one generation that has money, that the next generation of family will also have money, because it's Lakshmi is chanchala. It means it's changing. You can't keep it. So better to use it in Krishna service, and Krishna will always, always supply. So anyway, Ebenezer Scrooge, he had this job, and very, very stingy man, and his partner, Jacob Marley, had died. So one day when he was returning home to his apartment, Ebenezer Scrooge, he got a funny feeling. He started hearing, you know, different kind of spooky noises, and he got a little scared, but he thought, oh, this is just, I've eaten something improper. It's a piece of food that I didn't digest properly, and it's just causing me to have, you know, oral and hallucinations. But then Jacob Marley appeared in his ghostly form, his ephemeral form. And so he got kind of scared. And this is where the conversation starts. He says to him, why are you chained? You know, why are you fettered, were the exact words, which means why are you chained? Because here's the Jacob Marley, and he's got all these chains with money boxes attached to him. And he says, in life, my spirit never rose beyond the limits of our money-changing holds. Now I am doomed to wander without rest or peace, incessant torture and remorse. What does remorse mean? Anybody know what remorse means? If you're feeling remorse, you're feeling sorry for what you've done. Okay, that's what that means. Ebenezer says, but it was only that you were a good man of business, Jacob. Jacob Marley, he yelled at this point. He said, business? Mankind was my business. Their common welfare was my business. And it is this time of the year that I suffer the most. He said, look to me no more, but look here that you may remember for your own sake what is past between us. And he says, oh, what? Particularly because there's still time. And Scrooge says, time for what? He says, wrong, we were wrong. And Scrooge says, wrong? Well, we can't be right all the time, can we? Nobody's perfect. You mustn't reproach yourself, Jacob. We've been no worse than the next man, or no better, if it comes to that. And Jacob Marley is like, he said, save yourself. Save yourself. And Scrooge is like, from what? Ebenezer, he says, speak. And he says, you do not know the weight and length of your strong chains that you bear. It was as full and as long as mine 7 Christmas Eves ago, and you have labored on it ever since. Oh, it is a ponderous chain. So I really like that story because it really shows that, you know, this ghost could see that he was already getting ready for his next life, and he came back to warn him. So that at every moment we have the opportunity to remember Krishna or forget him. And Srila Prabhupada has set up this Hare Krishna movement so that we can always remember Krishna, never forget him. In fact, that's like a main aphorism we should always remember. Always remember Krishna, never forget him. So I just want to ask, throw this out to the audience, just any way that you know from, you know, Bhagavad Gita, the way that you can remember Krishna, or just ways that you remember him. Like one example is, Prabhupada says, there is a beautiful flower, and a non-devotee may look at that flower and say, oh, look at that flower. I'm going to pick it. I'm going to give it to my girlfriend. But a devotee sees a beautiful flower, and the devotee thinks, there's a beautiful flower. I'm going to pick it and give it to Krishna, right? So what are some of the ways that we can, that you remember Krishna? You look at some, you can even look at something and you remember Krishna. What are some of those ways? Yes, what is? The deities. Yeah, that's the best example, and that's why it's so important to come and see the deities, because there are some planets where they don't have deities at all. You don't have that opportunity to see the deities. Now, you're lucky that you all live not too far away from the temple, and you can come and see Radha and Krishna, Gaur Nitai, Krishna Balaram every day. So Prabhupada set that up, that we could do that. Prabhupada labored so hard to install the deities, to teach us how to worship the deities. Well, how else can we remember Krishna? Anybody? Gauranga. Oh, pictures or paintings, right? That's everywhere. Yes. Right. That's a great verse. Rasahamapsakantaya prabhasmi sachi suryo pranava sarvavedeshu shabdike purusham rishu. Krishna says, I'm the taste of the water. I'm the light of the sun and the moon. I'm the syllable om in the Vedic mantra. I'm the sound in ether. And I'm the ability in man. What else does Krishna say? I am... Yes. Good. Yes. I'm the shark. Yes. Gopal. That's right, I'm Himalayas, yes. Yes, and when we go to the ocean, we say, okay, this is Krishna, Gauranga. Of the birds and Garuda. And also I've heard it that when you see the birds, the birds are so beautiful, right? So many of them are so, especially like in Hawaii and tropical places, very beautifully colored, that's Krishna's artistry. Like sometimes Pushkar, my husband, he'll be painting and he'll say, oh, what's the use? What can I do? You know, like Krishna made everything so beautiful. I'm just trying to copy him. Like, why am I wasting my time? It's already all there. So, yeah, Gauranga. Of the beast and the lion, yes. What else? Anything else you can think of that you see? Yes. Kirtan, for sure. Yeah, and so many people became devotees just by hearing kirtan. There's a story of a devotee, you know, they're walking down the street and they hear something, because it really, sound vibration really penetrates the atmosphere, and they hear that and they kind of go looking for the sound, they find the devotees, and, you know, they end up becoming devotees. Or even people hear the sound and they try to get away from the sound because they don't want to meet the devotees, but ultimately, They do, and they become devotees. I've heard stories like that also. Yes, Krina. Oh, that's so beautiful, isn't it? So we're so lucky. There's so many different things. Like, and what about when you see a cow? Does that remind you of Krishna? For sure, yes. Prashadam, definitely, right? In fact, when we see food that isn't prashadam, we don't want to eat it, right? We have to offer it first. Then it's prashadam, because that makes a difference. And also, by taking prashadam, science says that every 7 years you get a whole new body. Your body completely regenerates every cell. So how old are you, Radesh? So you already have a complete spiritual body from taking prashadam all these years. All of you, yes. Very important. So we want to make sure that we always take prashadam. What about when we see a monkey? Who do we think of when we see a monkey? Okay, and who else do we think of when we see a monkey? Yes. Hanuman, right. And when we see a peacock, what do we think when we see a peacock? We think of Vrindavan, we think of Krishna. We remember that Krishna, you know, learned how to dance from watching the peacocks. So, yes. And even a peacock feather, right. And what does that remind us of when we see a peacock feather? Yeah, because Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Balaram, they wear a peacock feather in their turban, right? In fact, sometimes devotees, they'll be looking at the deities and you'll see a bunch of whispering. All of a sudden, somebody forgot to put the peacock feather, or it fell off or something. So Pujari quickly gets up and, you know, hurries onto the back and finds a peacock feather and goes and puts in Krishna's crown or his turban, because Krishna always wears a peacock feather. So all, yes. For sure. And even we hear flute music sometimes when Kishore, when he starts playing the flute, and you think, oh wow, that sounds so beautiful. And it's hard to imagine how beautiful the flute would be when Krishna plays it, because it's just such a beautiful sound. Yes, Gopal. For sure. Yeah. Yeah. So many things. We just look around and we're so fortunate that we look up into the sky and we think, wow, you know, Goloka Vrindavan's up there, and that's where we want to go. So we are, at this time, we are, all our consciousness, our thoughts, are creating our body. So we want, and Prabhupada describes the mind of a pure devotee like a pure lake. So we don't want to contaminate it. We don't want to, you know, pour a bunch of, like, black ink into that pure lake. Like, sometimes we may have an opportunity to look at a movie that's, you know, it's not so nice. It's not... You think about it. You know, it's one of the reasons that we don't like to get involved in activities that distract us from Krishna, because they follow us day after day after day. Like sometimes, even if I'm in a store and I hear a song from a long time ago, and I'm like, okay, I like that song. It's a great song, you know. But then it's hard to get rid of it. It sticks with me. I was remembering this too. This is from Bhakti George Harrison. The lyrics that say, the thoughts in their head manifest on their brow like scars from bad feelings they themselves arouse. So again, he's saying that your thoughts, you know, it's thinking, feeling, and willing. So you have a thought, and then that thought grows, and then you find yourself acting it out. So we have to try to keep our thoughts pure. And then, of course, because, again, we're so fortunate that we want to be able to go out into the world and spread this consciousness, spread this Krishna consciousness in so many ways. Prabhupada says, you know, just like Jesus Christ said, you hate the sin, not the sinner. So even people, when you go out in Sankirtan, or they may say something nasty, they may be rude, we don't hate them. We don't dislike them, because we know that it's really those ropes. What was the word for ropes? Anybody remember the word for rope? It started with a G. Yes. Guna, right. So they're bound up by these ropes, you know, and they almost can't help themselves. But when we give them a book, when we give them some prasadam, then they're able to begin to come free. And I know that my time is running out. I just wanted to read this verse, especially for Parcheet, if I can find it. And if I can't find it, I know most of you can probably just say it by heart. Tavakatam ritam. Yes. And does anyone know the translation? Can anyone say the whole translation to that verse? Oh, oh, thank you. Let's say it together. So fortunate are we, and Kartik is such an opportunity. Prabhupada says it's like having a big sale. Everything you do is multiplied 1,000 times. So we'll all take the opportunity to take advantage of this Kartik. All right, anybody have any kind of question or comment? Yes, Yashwati. Yeah. It's the ripe fruit that they're ready for the holy name. And you can see, and some people aren't there yet. Yeah. But then others, they stop, and it's like, it's familiar. It's coming to them.
Yeah.
So it just reminded me of that when you were talking
and
about.
And that's why the sound vibration is so essential. That's why, like, on Saturday, we're going to Jacksonville on Harinam to remind these people who are going to a football game. They've come from miles around to watch people throw this little, you know, pigskin around and see, you know, undergoing great trials and tribulations. Many of them are injured for life. You know, they develop all kinds of brain injuries and bodily injuries that plague them for their entire lives. So we're there to give them the spiritual sound vibration. All right, anyone else have a comment or a question or a remembrance? All right, thank you so much for your kind attention. Hare Krishna.